This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the next year, the year after that, it had Juergens in the second round and Jordan Davis the first, N'Kobe Dean in the third.
And the A.J. Brown trade.
And the A.J. Brown trade, and then N'Kobe in the third, too.
Right.
And then the next year is the Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith.
Right.
Second round.
And Juergens?
No, Juergens the year before. There's one other, though. The second rounder was solid that year, and then obviously last year with the first three.
Unbelievable. All right, so here's another unbelievable thing. We are now, we are about 38 hours from a piece of audio here from Daniel Jeremiah. John, it's a whole nother wave of players we've barely talked about. Like, Daniel Jeremiah is asked by John Clark options for the Eagles at 32. It's a whole new crew than dudes we've largely focused on. Listen to Daniel Jeremiah with John Clark earlier this week.
Are there guys that you would picture being right there in the area at 32 that you could see Howie taking?
Yeah, I think you look at, from an offensive line standpoint, Donovan Jackson is the one that kind of stands out to me, you know, is an option there. Josh Connerly from Oregon would be another one that would make some sense, you know, could be there. Maybe he goes earlier, but I could see him in that range right there. So those two guys on the offensive side of the ball. And then I think you flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. It'll be fascinating to see how the edge rushers, you know, come off the board. To me, Shamar Stewart will be fascinating just because the production's not there. You have all the traits and all the talent there. Is that an opportunity for him? You had Donovan Isiraku. Yeah, you know, we'll see where they are with him from Boston College. So there's a good group of guys there. I won't sleep on Nick Scorton either from A&M as a possibility.
It's striking to me, John. I mean, we're this close to the draft, and I feel like some of those names, I mean, a couple times have been referenced on our show, but by a couple.
The first one, I don't think we ever heard. The offensive line, Donovan, I don't think we ever heard that guy's name before. On show. Donovan Jackson. I never heard the guy's name before.
And he was the first guy I said.
Yeah.
What a strange lead up to an NFL draft. Honestly, as bizarre as just about any I can ever remember from an Eagle standpoint.
Honestly, I was thinking about it. It's just in general, too. Like, if you look at the top, it's like a
The weak draft.
Also, first, there are no trades. Every team has its pick. Like, that's never happened. I mean, I'm sure there'll be trades on draft night, but they've never gone into a draft with every team having its pick. Like, it's just a weird draft.
Well, it is a weird draft. And two other things to me, top of the board, I'll say. So, Shedeur Sanders, I think, is the most intriguing thing. Like, where does he land? He could go three. He could tumble down in the 20s. Like, that's very interesting. The other is the player that most considered the best in the draft, maybe, and I'm talking about Travis Hunter, maybe is only the best player in the draft if a team plays him both ways, and we don't know if a team's going to play him. Like, that's one of the things for Kelsey today. Like, Jason Kelsey, can a player play 75 snaps on offense and 75 snaps on defense? Is that reasonable?
Travis Hunter.
Chuck Benarek was 60-something years ago, guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, and then is he the best player if a team doesn't play him both ways?
The positions that he
probably
plays,
not.
You can use this guy to truly do anything on either side of the football.
Like, he also would be double susceptible to injury. Double. Like, however much a player typically
gets injured. Because he's playing extra.
Even more. Yeah. Like, all the snaps on offense, all the snaps on defense, plus cumulative effect. So it's a risky situation. I know you're not worried about it, John, but a good GM should be.
That everyone's
but could you
these
imagine
guys if, are getting sent back to the medical combine?
Yeah, but
right
John,
now.
You know, 150. If a guy plays 100, if a guy plays 150 plays,
expert in the country,
150
they know
plays
exactly how many times their heart beats every minute.
But here's the problem: 150 plays over a 17-game season, like, add it up. That's a lot. Anyway, let's go to the phone. So there's a lot on the Phillies to react to. The draft, obviously, is tomorrow. We'll play more of the audio of Daniel Jeremiah. And Jason Kelsey will join us coming up in studio around 7:30. Paul with us right now. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. I'm in Westchester, New York.
Yes, sir.
So let me tell you guys, I was there last night. I'm just calling to tell you, I was there last night. I was two rows from the field. The only word I could use is listless or apathetic. To watch these guys, I was trying to think of big words for John. To watch these guys come to the plate, and I have to tell you, Hammer, I hate to give you credit, but you nailed it. I mean, you're the first person with any kind of authority to actually say, these guys have gotten paid, and now what are they doing?
Yeah, they look.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because, you know, you mentioned a couple of names this morning, and it's the only place I disagree with you, because I'm thinking about Harper. I'm thinking about Trey. I'm thinking about these guys that should be leading this team. And it was embarrassing to watch. And I was with Mets fans, which was even worse. But it was embarrassing to watch these guys. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I think, Richie, you said it this morning. Since London last year, this is awful.
Yeah, they're average. Since London, they're average. Maybe a couple games above 500. That's it. Average.
And the worry is that they've become accustomed. That they just accept, like, okay, well, we remember what it was like when we'd win one, we'd win two, and it was like, oh, well, I'm expecting another loss to sort of even this thing out. That's the way it felt when we started doing the midday show, though. It was just a scale that the Phillies would balance no matter what. They won, you know they'd lose the next day, and it's like they knew it, too. And they were playing to that eventuality. I don't want this team, one of the most talented in the world and paid that way, to fall into that trap.
So here's one thing I'll say I disagree a little bit, John. I don't think they, back in 2018, played into that eventuality. I think they were that. Like, they were average. I mean, it's good to have whoever was good back then, but it gets, when Franco's your third baseman or Nick Williams is your right fielder, it's hard to win 94 games. It just
Reese
is.
Reese Hoskins is your offensive.
Right.
He is your generator. Your offensive explosion is only Reese Hoskins. That's all you can hope for.
I thought that team, to an extent, maxed out. This team, no.
Far
this
from
team
it.
Could be so. I mean, Paul. The payroll, the resumes, the back of the baseball card. There's a lot of guys on this team with, I mean, Castellanos before he got here, and I hate to single him out right now because he's actually been one of the better fills this year. But last night he was obviously not good. I mean, he was 330 and 100 RBIs the year before he got here. Where's that been? Where's it?
John, I'll tell you. I swear, I'll tell you, Joe. John, I'll tell you, Devin. There was a time last year and a time the year before that where these guys would come to the plate and anything was possible. You said, this could happen. This was likely to happen. There was a feeling of electricity in the air in the stadium on a Tuesday night in April. You couldn't get a seat. It was awesome. And now you go to the games and these guys come up to bat and they kind of hunker up to the plate. They walk up. They walk out into the field. And you go, oh, this is a double play ball. This ball is not coming out of the infield. Nobody's hitting the ball real hard.
Yeah,
you know, it just lose so much. And from a fan experience, it's like, what am I paying this money for to go and do this? I had the opportunity to buy season tickets again this year, and I'm going, for what? What?
Listen, Paul, you bring up a lot of really, really good points. Call us as much as you can, man. That's a great call. Here's one thing I will say. On the flip side, as I just thought of it regarding 2022 and 2023, because what he's talking about is he felt the energy back then. I will say this. I don't think they were actually like a really great team either of those years. I think they got on a heater in the playoffs, and that gave us the misconception that they had turned into a truly great team. I mean, guys, if you go back to 2022 and 2023, I mean, think of it this way. One year they were 21 and 29. Another year they were 22 and 29. They finished with, 89 wins and 80, when they have 90 wins in 23, which isn't bad, I mean, at all. But I wouldn't call that truly great. Certainly not
87,
exceptional.
Or I think it was 87 in 22 and then 90 in 23.
Yeah, I think we got a misconception that they had entered greatness because of the 3 weeks that they were on the journey, both Octobers, until they weren't. But, you know, like, did they really become a truly great Astros, Dodgers type team? No.
They've only done that for the first 2 months of last season. Like, this whole run, like, in terms of, like, and I guess 3 weeks in October in 2022.
Right.
That's it. That's the only time they've been that level of great this entire run.
I agree. The Sanchez thing is a legitimate concern. Let's listen to Rob Thompson. If you missed it, Sanchez got taken out after two innings last night. And you'll hear with Rob Thompson how immediate it was that Rob Thompson pulled him upon finding out the situation. Here is Rob Thompson after the game.
It's left forearm tightness. Saw the doc. Not expecting any structural damage. We'll reevaluate. We'll know in the next couple of days.
When did you first start complaining of it?
The first I heard of it was after the second inning. I went down and I talked to him and said, "How you doing?" And he said, usually he goes, "Oh, I'm good." Or I said, "Are you all right?" And usually says, yeah, I'm good. And this time he just nodded. I said, "Tell me what's going on." And he said, "I'm just, my arm's a little bit tight." I said, "Okay, that's it. We're done."
Will he go for an MRI tomorrow?
We'll know more tomorrow.
Okay, that's it. We're done. He wasn't messing around when he heard it was the forearm, which, James, to your point, is a major concern.
I mean, it's a harbinger, you know? Like, usually, like, when you see these forearm tightness, like, a lot of times it's the first thing you see before they announce that the person has Tommy John surgery.
Because that really could be a pathway to missing the playoffs. You know, the starting pitching's been the strongest part of this team this year, and he's been one of the two strongest, him and Lizardo. And if they don't have him, problems. All right, you've got a shot to win a pair of Phillies tickets. They got another game coming. Well, they got another game today. Afternoon game, by the way, today. But next week on Tuesday, we got tickets for you. Tuesday, April 29th, at 6:45 first pitch at Citizens Bank Park. It's a Hatfield Franks buy one, get one free night. Two hot dogs for the price of one. For tickets, get yourself to Phillies.com. Here's how you can win them today. We were talking about the tremendous movie Pretty Woman before the show, and obviously for Julia Roberts, it was a major breakthrough role and breakthrough performance for her. She had some fame, certainly before that, Mystic Pizza and others, but it was what catapulted her into superstardom, for which she maintained it. I'm looking today for just a tremendous, notable breakthrough performance. Let me give you a caveat. In my opinion, this is me. Everyone else here can be their judge or how they want to do it. To me, you got to sustain it for it truly to be a great answer for breakthrough. Like, I would not say Nick Foles, Super Bowl 52, was a breakthrough performance in that he didn't
keep going through.
No.
He went back to I get what you're saying. That's interesting. I like this.
Not Foles, isn't T. Smith in that one Super Bowl when he rushed for 200 yards? Like, you gotta keep it rolling. That's my opinion. John, when you think of a notable breakthrough performance, can be an athlete,
man.
It can be an actress or actor, can be a musician in some way. Like, there's a lot of ways to go here. Breakthrough performance, whoever comes up, by the way, 215-592-9494 with the best answer is going to win the Phillies tickets. Richie, what are you thinking?
Jimmy, 1967.
I'm shocked.
So 1967.
No way.
Monterey,
really?
California, the Pop Festival. He had never performed with Mitch Mitchell, his drummer, and Noel Redding, his bassist, in America. And here he is. Actually, backstage, The Who got in a fight trying to not play after this guy no one had ever even seen before, because The Who had been watching him in London. The Who knew who Jimi Hendrix was. And they're like, "We're not playing after that guy.
Yep.
We're not going." And lo and behold, Jimmy gets out there. He blows everyone away, and at the end of it, gets out the lighter fluid and ignites his guitar on fire, creating an iconic photo, an iconic image that would last forever. But the performance itself was just masterful.
And he obviously maintained until his death. He maintained. Devin, a breakthrough performance. What do you got?
I'm sticking with Philly sports. Jalen Hurts in 2021, his first season as a true star.
I don't like that answer. He wasn't good enough then. 2022, to me.
I agree with you. I think 2022 would be Jalen Hurts' breakthrough performance.
Well, so I was actually debating saying 2020 when he came in for Wentz, because Wentz was struggling, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, this guy Jalen Hurts, who we're all mad about
Saints
how he's drafting,
well. Yeah.
Is playing well.
You know,
so that's what I understand where you're coming from.
The pessimist would say Jalen Hurts NFC Championship game against Washington.
Yeah, stop it. Well, I thought you'd say Jalen Hurts hasn't had a breakthrough. I was about to get real mad.
All right, Seltzer, give me a breakthrough performance.
I'll go with an outside-the-box answer. Yep. Jordan Peele with Get Out.
Okay. Ooh, all right.
Good answer.
All right. Look, a lot of ways to go here. Big answers. I'm going to go to the world of movies. I'm going to go to an actor who obviously has been one of the top stars of the last 50 years, and it began in 1977 with Star Wars, and that is the great Harrison Ford as Han Solo. I mean, look, I wasn't alive, but I don't think many people knew Harrison Ford before 77.
Yeah, he was only in, I think, American Graffiti.
Graffiti.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars, and then, like, superstardom. I mean, Indiana Jones and just, you know, 10 different movies in which he was a lawyer. And, you know, and then more Star Wars. And, you know, it just, you know, Harrison Ford is, he's guy's the man.
Witness was pretty early for him.
Witness was 84.
Like, yeah, 84, 85.
But you think about all of them, Presumed Innocent and all of them.
Presumed Innocent, by the way, super underrated movie. Phenomenal movie.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure which one that is. Like, I know that's
with Bonnie Bedelia and Raul Julia.
Yeah. John, you should check it,
you
man.
Should watch it. It's a great movie.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Nothing, other than who's in it. I'm not saying anything else.
Bonnie Bedelia.
The Bonnie Bedelia.
Who, by the way, is as wheelhouse cats.
I know you love Bonnie Bedelia.
Bonnie Bedelia. Holy mackerel. All right, give us a big answer, a breakthrough performance. Whoever provides the best answer, you're going to win the Phillies tickets for Tuesday night of next week. 215-592-9494. Phone calls up ahead. AMA plus Jason Kelce today around 7:30. Joe DeCameron, John Rich on 94 WIP.